So the first schedule that's in this analysis is the assumptions for development. And this has been developed based upon information we have received from the developer as far as the construction of each component, which includes the there's existing value that's been certified by the Department of Revenue of property increases that took place in 16 and 17. There's also, with the acquisition of the existing rock facility from the county, that will become taxable property from its acquisition in 2018. There's also value that will be identified for the stadium, the hotel, some of the restaurants, and then the sports village that were identified property north of Rawson. To the south side, there's some mixed-use development. There's some additional retail space. And the mixed-use is somewhat commercial development, the senior housing. And with this analysis, what we've removed is what was previously identified for the apartments. We have removed that. I also want to note that we've done analysis that looked at these high-rise apartments and with potential higher value versus the original two-story buildings that had outdoor parking. We did analysis on both of those to determine which was the most favorable for the TIF overall, and the conclusion is that the higher-rise apartments generate more value, therefore helping to support all these project costs more efficiently. So for the TID 5, we've removed the apartment because we'll be discussing that in the TID 7 analysis. So at present, we're coming up with $124 million of value that would be remaining of improvements to tax increment district number 5. It's that $125 million or $124 million that there will be property taxes collected on, and those tax dollar collections will be used to support the costs that are undertaken to promote the development. The second page of the analysis is the determination of the projection for tax revenue. Now, obviously, we're talking for an extended period of time. It requires us to put some assumptions in place in order to make these projections. This district was created in 2016 with a natural life of 20 years. The law allows for a potential extension of this district if we haven't accomplished all its project costs within that 20-year life of an additional 3 years. So we've kind of highlighted the potential for those additional 3 years on this schedule. They're, for those of you who are looking at a color version, they're towards the bottom, the last 3 years, 21 through 23. They're highlighted in kind of a peach color. So the assumptions that we've applied at this particular point is we're using the values that we have assigned to the development and the timing of that development, and that's been a collaborative effort between the assessor and information provided from the developer. And we're assuming, so the timing when those values come online and the overall value for each of those projects, we're assuming for this analysis that those property values will not appreciate in value. So generally, you'll see economic growth, and that's just appreciation of property values. You know, home prices increase and commercial prices increase. We're not assuming any of that at this point. Now, over time, history tells us that property values can go up, they can go down, but in the short term, there's more likely an increase. If we ever see any decrease, it would be out for a couple of years. So we feel that that's fairly conservative. But even beyond that, one of the factors that goes into it is we look at the tax rate, the overall consolidated tax rate, which is the city's taxes, the county's taxes, the technical college taxes, and the school district taxes. It's a consolidated rate that's used in this analysis. We are forecasting that to drop by 1% on an annual basis. So when you look at this revenue stream, once we peak out at $124 million, we're holding that value constant, but we're dropping the tax rate. So that property taxes on our analysis is declining over time on an annual basis. But with the entire extension of this and the extension of 3 years, we're about $50 million of future tax collection on this, close to $51 million of future tax collection, which would be used to pay for project cost. The third schedule is kind of the financing plan, and this appears more complicated than what it is. The first set of numbers on the far left, as Finance Director Rauschenberg mentioned, we borrowed on a short-term basis, kind of like a construction loan, back in December of 2018 to finance the projects to be undertaken for the infrastructure, for the $22 million worth of infrastructure that the city committed to. We did that on a short-term basis. We're refinancing that or taking it out on a permanent financing in three different phases. One of them we accomplished in March of 2019. The other ones are potentially to be done later this year and early, and at a later point in 2023. When we have a better idea of the actual dollars are coming in, we'll structure the permanent debt financing accordingly. So there's three takeouts of that short-term financing into a permanent financing.
I'm gonna risk something here.
Okay.
I'm looking around the audience, and there's only two that are actively taking notes, and they're the two that I would have expected to be taking notes. I'm wondering if it might not be better for the folks in the audience if we just get to the details on payback and surety, and if they have questions about how we're going to buy this, that you can do it individually, call staff.
That's fine.
Okay.
That's fine.
Anybody object to that? Okay. Nobody reacted. So let's go over for an hour last night.
Okay. So we've got a financing plan. We put that plan into a forecast of the cash coming in, the cash coming out of the overall district. So the tax revenue is one source of revenue. The bond proceeds are another source of revenue. In our analysis, we've got the shortfall payments or the expectation that if there is a shortfall payment, the developer would provide that. But I want to clarify that when we borrow money, it's the bond proceeds that are paying for the project cost. It's the tax revenues that are coming in that are paying the debt service on those debt obligations. So we rely on that tax revenue to make the principal and interest payments on any money that the city puts in place or to make the payments to these municipal revenue obligations that we refer to that go to the developer. So the cash flow analysis brings all that together. We've got our revenue coming in, bond proceeds and tax increment revenue, any payments from the developer as well. We identify the principal and interest payments on all of the debt financing that we undertake. Those obligations get met first, so the tax revenue is available, we'll pay that first. And then if there's money left over, then those funds will be paid towards the developer on that MRO. And our analysis shows that all the city's debt will be covered first, and that the MRO payments will be at the very tail end of this district. And the city would have to look to maybe extending that for them to recover all of the costs that they have put in. And that includes the original developer agreement for about $3.5 million and the $1.5 million, as Mr. Rosenberg mentioned, there's about $4.5 million of PAYGO payments that go back to the developer. With that analysis, we've concluded that in TID District Number 5, we would potentially take, under our assumptions, that some of that additional extension of time, one additional year to be added to the district, and the district could support not only the commitments that it's made to date, but $2 million of the additional ask for the additional infrastructure cost that's come forward from the developer and would require an amendment to provide included in tax increment district number 5. Is that kind of a summary you were?
Yep, okay. And it cash flows and pays off. 2038, we're out from underneath the city debt, and then we've got the MRO after that.
Correct. The MRO payments would be there, but it would not require the additional full 3 years extension of the district.
Questions or comments? Okay. Again, these documents will be on the website. Continue to offer it. Anybody who needs to talk to the finance staff is welcome to call them, and be happy to walk you through this. Paul?
Yes. I have gotten some calls from and inquiries from residents, and I would continue to entertain those.
The second piece of this overall analysis is what we're referring to as tax increment district number 7. The reason we skipped a district, the city has already undertaken district number 6 on a different project. So this is district number 7. What we're calling it is an overlay district. So the properties where the apartment buildings would be included would be created as a new district. This district would be laid right on top of the existing district. We're not subtracting the properties out. We're just creating a new district over top. Starts the clock over. So, you know, as we've had a little delay in the existing district, this gets us some additional time. So the value of the property that exists there now, which is basically Agland, stays within tax increment district number 5. It's just the growth and new development on top of that becomes part of district number 7. And this is a common practice that's done. It's done many times when you're looking at districts that a new project comes along and it values the community and we need additional time to accomplish that. So this overlay concept and creating this new district would provide that for the city. The only value that we're assuming under our development assumptions here is the $47 million that we're looking to the value of the apartment complex itself. So everything else would stay within TID 5. That's the only value that would be accounted for in TID 7. We've gone through the same analysis using the same assumptions with a zero appreciation on that value once it's put in place and a declining tax rate. So our revenue forecast, again, will show a little bit of a decline over the period of time. That helps to put some conservancy into our numbers. The financing plan for this is basically broken down into three pieces. One, as was mentioned in Mr. Rosenberg's presentation, is there is some upfront loan that would be provided to the developer of a $4.5 million loan. The developer would pay that back at a higher interest rate than the city's cost to generate the funds to provide that. So that provides some additional cushion in the cash flow and also provides additional dollars to perhaps help support cost. We've assigned $3.2 million of the additional infrastructure to this district. There would be capital raised to pay for that. And then we talked about the municipal revenue obligation. That is money that the developer is fronting. So the developer has a carrying cost. They're not recovering that for a period of time. So as Ian mentioned from Mandel, this $14.9 million that we're talking about paying out over time, they're carrying that for that period of time, so for them to recover some of their cost to carry, that's that discount rate to bring it to present value. So the difference between the 7.5 and the 14.9 is that carrying cost for the Mandel Group to carry those funds. So we've identified that a municipal revenue obligation to be paid out over time. So in this cash flow analysis, again, you know, the construction starts in 19. We don't start collecting taxes until 20. So there's a period of time where we're capitalizing some interest cost. Here again, we have bond proceeds paying for infrastructure and tax revenue paying for any debt obligations and that municipal revenue obligation.
When you say tax revenue?
The tax revenue that's paid by the Mandel Group on those properties.
I keep harping on it for an obvious reason.
So we've accounted for the loan repayment from the developer to pay, and that would offset the obligation that the city would have to pay for that loan or to provide that loan, and that more than matches and more than covers that loan or that borrowing for that loan. We have the infrastructure for the additional $3.2 million accounted for here, and the taxes would pay that infrastructure before the municipal revenue obligation funds would be paid. So the city's obligations get covered first before any money is available to make the municipal revenue obligation. That's been structured over 20 years and identified based upon the need to meet the returns to the development project and their investors. So that's identified over a 20-year time period. Again, we've also, I guess I didn't mention on both of these, there is additional funds to cover an administrative cost that the city incurs on this, so cost to provide audits, cost to manage the programs, cost to review all of this, that may include your administrator's time, your finance department time. There is some allowances to help protect the city from those costs. And this District 2 then would support all those project costs, and we've identified in 2041 that those costs would be covered under this performa analysis. it was a several years earlier, the district could potentially go out until its last revenue year by statute is 2041. So, 2047. I'm looking at little numbers here from that angle. So 2047, so 9 years earlier.
He was specifically talking about the effects of repayment on the economic downturn of the project. You know, more so with the apartment side of that.
Well, the if there's an economic downturn in the apartments, if the money isn't available to pay the developer that MRO, it's not paid. So we have about $816,000 a year for a few years, and it drops down to $720,000. If the money isn't available after the city's obligation, if there's only $400,000 available, they would get $400,000. If there's, you know, from the taxes, if there's not that, anything less than that, they wouldn't get that. So that protects you from the downturn because it's the developer's risk, not the city's risk.
I wanted that on the record because I had that question asked me a couple times. And then I didn't bring your contract, but who's going to be responsible to for the municipal's annual filings? Was that part of your contract, or does Paul do all the filings or the requirements of the TIF?
Staff does those filings.
Thank you.
Anything else, or what are you asking?
I believe at this point in time we're back to the council action sheet, wherein the council would consider whether or not this financial feasibility done on the existing TID 5 warrants the next steps in the TID amendment process and the negotiation of a developer's agreement to modify the existing agreement. And the second action item is whether or not the financial feasibility for the proposed TID 7 warrants the next steps in a TID formation process.
So you're looking for a motion to amend the boundary to incorporate the TID 5 boundary to amend it, to incorporate the newly purchased property located in the southeast corner of Boston and into tax incremental District 5. Right?
That's correct.
Such a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Discussion of that motion?
Discussion.
Alderman Mann.
So in this particular motion, we're not putting any money involved in this. We're not changing the money. The finances are up to a certain amount or anything.
This, all this does is say that you are asking us to create a public notices to say that there's a TID amendment coming to modify the boundary. And we will be asking the Joint Review Board and this council to approve modifications to the project plan.
The amendment would include the territory amendment, but we would also need to include the potential for the additional $2 million right. worth of cost. It's not a commitment that you're going to provide the $2 million. It's just to allow the capability to do that. The TID amendment, it takes a process to go through that. There's a public hearing that will be held before your planning commission. If there's a notification requirement, the timing to get the notification requirement requires it in the paper two times, at least 14 days, the first one 14 days in advance of that hearing. So that process will take place. The planning commission will consider it at a hearing date, consider a resolution. If that's approved, it goes on to the council. The council can approve the amendment, can approve the territory addition, include the additional dollars of potential dollars to be spent, but it isn't until you execute a developer's agreement that you would actually commit to spending any more money. So it basically puts the parameters and the framework in place, much like your original project plan did. We just have exceeded the allowances in that original plan, which requires us to amend to add additional dollars into this plan. And it would be $2 million of project cost that we'd be adding to this district. The second district, TID 6, is putting the parameters in place to allow for the additional $3.2
million. Seven.
Sorry. Thank you. The additional $3.2 million, as well as the MRO to the developer, those would be the project cost identified in that second creation, but it puts that framework in place. There's no commitment to those dollars until you execute your developer's agreements.
Yeah. I could go a few places here, but I'm just going to focus in because it's already getting late. I don't think it's okay that we ignore the overruns. I think we need accountability for overruns. We've heard so many rumors in the last few months. It was the developer, it was the city, it was the DNR, it was engineering. There's been so much blame put around, and we're just saying, well, we're not going to worry about that. We're just going to move on. I don't think that's right. And so in the end, when all of this is said and done, I might agree with it or not. I might agree with it or not. I might go for it or not. But right now, I think until we have those answers, I'm not willing to commit to saying I'm going to go further with anything.
Anyone else? A motion on the floor to amend the boundary and move forward with the project plan. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed?
No.
Madam Clerk.
Alderman D'Andrea.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
No.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Barber.
Aye.
Motion carries. Four ayes, one no, one absent, no abstentions. The next item is?
The financing plan for the apartment TID, which I believe will be called TID number 7 here in the city of Franklin. This is to go, to, again, as Ms. Gunderson mentioned, to have several notices to the public that public hearings will be held, and the Planning Commission will consider it, bringing forward a resolution to the Common Council for consideration to create a potential TID, and then for the negotiation of a developer's agreement, which would then bind the city to particular commitments.
And we're not borrowing any money?
We're not borrowing any money.
We're
not committing anything. We're creating a framework that's that exists under state statutes.
The motion to that effect?
So moved.
I'll second.
Discussion? Alderman
Mayer. Same comment. I think we need to not commit anything. And I know we're not committing to this, but this is making a firm statement that we're going forward one way or the other. And until we know exactly what we're going to be spending, and until we know where the overruns were and what the cause was and who's accountable for it, I'm not going to support going forward at this point in time.
Okay. Anyone else? Alderman Willem.
I would like to see one more detail on the cost of overruns as well, that I understand where we're at the process, and I can wait and expect more than that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
Madam Clerk.
Alderman Barber?
Aye.
Alderman Taylor?
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm?
Aye.
Alderman Mayer?
No.
Alderman D'Andrea?
Aye.
Motion carried. Four ayes, one no, one absent, no abstention. Alderman Wilhelm.
We did a recess, and then would you consider taking the developers that have been sitting here all night?
Sure, we got other people have been here all night. Right. All right, we'll take a recess until 9:02. We're back in session. We move down to item G23, Mr. City Attorney.
G20B.
City Attorney is going to announce.
20B.
That's what I said, isn't it?
No, he said 23.
No, that's what I said, 20B. 20B, Mr. City Attorney.
Mr. Mayor, while the subject matter are in essence for the same project and really identical, I thought it appropriate for the record, since the motion, the second motion adopted on item G3 with regard to the feasibility analysis, et cetera, included a direction for the negotiation of development agreement, that since that was part of the subject matter at the committee of the whole meeting yesterday evening, that for clarification and consistency, that perhaps the council move ahead in the agenda for review and potential action on item 20 sub B, which is the tax incremental district number 5 plan, development district number 37, the Rock Sports Complex, ballpark, common sports, anchored mixed-use development project status and future development in the district, subject matter from the committee of the whole, yesterday and suggest that consistent motion be entertained with regard to what was added on at the end with regard to the preparation of development agreement terms, negotiation, et cetera, on item G3 that just occurred. And staff would recommend on item G20 sub B consideration of the making of a motion to direct staff and financial consultants and special legal counsel to proceed with the negotiations of potential amendments to the development agreement for tax incremental district number 5 and a potential development agreement for a potential new tax incremental development district number 7 terms as discussed in closed session at the Committee of the Whole for return to the Common Council.
Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed?
No.
Man.
Madam Clerk.
Alderman Andrea.
Aye.
Alderman Mayor.
No.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Barber.
Aye.
Motion carries 4 ayes, 1 no, 1 absent, no abstention.